Goals are easy, but are you going to commit to the obstacles and the problems? This is important because what a lot of us do is we just fantasize about what it's going to be like when we hit our goal. We visualize that and we end up forgetting about the part where all the way to the end of the goal is a lot of learning. That's what your obstacles and problems are. The obstacles and problems are all the learning that's going to happen along the way. I will never be able to give you anything simpler to do than what I already give you. I don't care if I shipped all of you guys food. If I was a big ass Jenny Craig and sent you guys food, hell, I could come and sit in your house and some of you would sneak out and still go eat something. That's because we have to quit committing to just the goal and then hoping for perfection along the way. I want to make sure that what you're not doing when you say like, oh, I'm so excited. I start an OBS over. I got my planner, Corinne. And you're like, a lot of you start off enthusiastic as fuck because you're just thinking about the goal. But what you're not doing is you're not thinking about, all right, who am I going to be along the way? Am I going to be somebody who overcomes my obstacles and I'm going to anticipate them and stuff? Or am I going to be somebody who's going to shit my diaper and sit in it and not change it and whine every single time something doesn't go right? Somebody says something to me. Unexpected shit happens. A habit of mine hasn't gone away yet. I missed a hunger cue. I was eating, and when I looked down, I noticed I cleaned my plate and I'd blown past enough. It was all unconscious. All of that is shit you got to learn how to not do anymore. And that takes time. Just because I tell you to make a plan doesn't mean that you automatically going to follow it. It means we're going to make a plan and we're going to have to keep making plans until you learn how to make them so good that you do follow them. So commit to obstacles. That means that your problems and your obstacles, you do not sit around and bitch about them. You do not act like they're like, oh, they're so hard for me, Corinne. Thought, shitty one. You know what you need to be thinking? When they come, I'll deal with them. Thank God I'm in no BS where I got fucking experts to ask. There's an optional thought. A lot of you just like state that your problems are hard for you, overwhelming and stuff, as if you have no choice in the matter to ever have another thought about them. That is not the truth. As I always say, if something feels true, that doesn't make it true. It just means you ain't thinking anything else. So yeah, it's going to feel true if there ain't no other voice in the room. So we're going to talk like a boss about our problems, and we're going to talk like a boss about our obstacles, which means I can handle it. I'll figure it out. This is part of the process. Thank God I have people to ask. I bet somebody else had this problem before. I know every success story ran into problems. I'm going to guess that if I'm running into problems and I keep going, that equals success story. Y'all make it, if I run into problems, that equals failure. It's a no. Every success story's formula is I run into problems, I keep going, until I find a solve, until I have figured out how to be the success story. That is it. You either a quitter or you're a success story. The second part, what we're going to commit to with our obstacles and problems is we're going to learn versus being stern. I said this 100,000 times at camp. We are not going to judge ourselves. Every overeat, binge, not stopping when you've had enough, grab ass, broken plan, day you didn't plan, day you slept in versus get up, the day you didn't drink all your water, that night you stayed up and ate instead of going to bed. Every single one of those has to be your opportunity to learn, dive in, process. What was I feeling? What went on? What could I do different next time? The only option you really have on the table if you want to be a success story after something's happened is dig in. Learn from it. Stop the shame train. Being stern, telling yourself you should do better, I have to do better, I'm a failure, all of that stuff that feels so punitive, that's not diet culture. That's you. You're in here now. You ain't outside in the cold with the diet culture where they're not going to tell you that you're not the problem. You know what? You're in here. You got a brain. I just, like, shock and awe, you all got a brain, a reasoning one. If you want to talk better to yourself, it's called a choice. And that means that for a lot of you who started off just like me, where your inner voice is anything but kind, and it has been conditioned for years and years and years to think some utter fucking bullshit, it means you got to commit to that problem. You got to commit to that obstacle. You've got to decide the best work I'll ever do on myself is to quit whining that my inner voice is a bitch and to start changing the conversation. Inner voices don't change by accident. They change on purpose. So, warning, stop committing to perfect, which is what most of you do. You get excited about your goal and you're all in until the first mishap. You were committed to the process being perfect and fun. You're committed to it only being easy. If it's not easy, if it doesn't come natural, if I don't do it right, well, you know, I can't be committed then. That means you're overly committing to perfect. The only reason why you guys want it to go perfect is going to be because of a shitty conversation you have with yourself about the problems. This is why I'm like, when obstacles and problems happen, they're not a problem and they're not terrible and they're not horrible and they're not a game changer unless you got a rat ass conversation happening in your head about them. If you are encouraging, curious, digging in, determined to figure it out, telling yourself, like, man, I'm not letting something like this stop me. There's no way that I'm ever going to allow myself to believe I can't do this. There's got to be a way. When you talk to yourself like that, you're no longer committed to perfect. You're now committed to you. That's how we turn on commitment, by thinking different. So what do I mean by stern? And I think I misspelled it. That's why there's a squiggly underneath it. But I'm going to tell you, I started writing this out 3 minutes before we went live. I was just like, woo, with a marker. Stern is when you're like hard on yourself. It's like taking too much of a little hard hand to yourself. And I just wanted something to go with learn. So learn versus stern. I'm either learning and talking about it and processing it, or I'm being stern where I'm yelling at myself, admonishing myself, saying I should be doing better, taking up a hard hand. So I decided what I was going to do today is give you guys the top three obstacles that I want you committed to and some shit you can try, because I'm all about giving you some do line breakdowns. The top three obstacles that I have been watching you guys have. Following your plans is number one. A lot of people are having difficulty following their plans. A lot of you will start doing plans, but you're not quite skilled at the following part yet, which, as I said at camp 100,000 times, that's okay. In the beginning, it's more important to learn the skill of making plans and everything that you have to go through in order to get good at showing up to be decisive each day about what you're going to eat. That's a skill. There's also the skill of saying, like, well, I'm going to write a plan every day, get really good at that, and practice that commitment while I work on following it. but I'm not going to give up on this one part. Like the minimum baseline, when I talk to you guys about minimum baselines, for a lot of you, the minimum baseline has to be to make the plan every day. No matter what happens, I make my plan every day, and that's my minimum baseline. And then you work your way up from there. The second biggest obstacle that I see is stopping at eating enough. And the third biggest obstacle that I really see is grab-assing food. So I'm going to talk about each one. Number one, following the plan. Hang on, let me move this screen out of the way. It's just bothering me. I can't see. All right. So number one, when you are noticing you're not following your plan, the first question I want you to ask is it actually doable? The vast majority of you still are making plans where you are thinking, I should put this on here. If I don't put this on here, or if I don't eat these things, there's no way I could lose weight and blah, blah, blah. What ends up happening is when you think I should be eating this, or there's no way I could eat these things and lose weight, you end up feeling restricted, or you end up feeling like defeated along those lines. And the do line of your think, feel, do cycle turns into breaking plans, which results in I'm not eating things that I say I'm going to eat, or the result ends up being, you know, like I can't lose weight because I'm not following my plans. It has nothing to do with what goes on the plan. It's because if you don't start in the beginning or wherever you are, guys, doable plans work at all stages. Even if you're on the last 10 pounds, you'll never lose the last 10 pounds planning through restriction. You'll never lose the last 10 pounds planning through, there's no way I could eat those things. You're not going to lose your last 10 pounds and be able to keep it off thinking, this is the hard part. I got to really knuckle down. Those are not the thoughts that are going to lead to it. So always be looking at, is this plan doable first? If it's truly doable, like, and I mean doable, it, like go down to the bottom, not good enough. I was telling everybody at camp this weekend that I want it so doable. I want the actions that you take to lose weight so doable that it makes your brain think this isn't good enough. The moment your brain screams this isn't good enough, it's a go. That's probably where all of us need to be, because we need to get better at overriding the part of us that thinks that in order to be successful, and I don't care if you're in business, I don't care if this is weight or whatever it is, the moment that you think it's not good enough, we have to get better at taking action in that moment, improving to ourselves that we can do things the easy way. We get to make our lives easier on ourselves. So many of us don't really believe that. And this is one of those ways. So when you're talking about, is it doable? The moment your brain goes, that's not good enough. Guys, if your brain's going there, you have to learn how to override that part. That doesn't mean make a harder plan. It means prove to yourself that taking action is better than sitting around telling yourself that what you say you'll do isn't good enough. That's a terrible way to live. If you're doing it with your food plan, I guarantee you do it in your mothering. I guarantee you do it in your wifing, in your girlfriending, in your employeeing. You're going to do it in all kinds of places. So when that thought's triggered, you got a doable plan. Now, if you're already good at following your plans, you don't need to take it down a notch to not good enough. You've already proven to yourself you know how to plan for you. But for everybody who's continuing to break their plans, first starts with doable. The next thing is, a lot of you will say, no, Corinne, I'm serious. Oh, I got the doable plan. It is beyond doable. But in that moment, There's something in me that wants to rebel. There's something in me that says, I don't want to do this. I mean, like some of you could put a fucking Whopper with cheese, fries dipped in mayo, and a fully loaded Coke on your plan. And you'd show up at Burger King ready to go, and your brain would be like, oh no, you wrote that on your plan. We're getting a chicken sandwich. Like your brain is just like determined that you're not going to follow this. And it's usually stemming from a core belief that you can't lose weight. So it's trying to find, even in those moments, a way to just sabotage. So you use this one. If it's truly, let's say we're all showing, all of us have planned a Whopper with cheese, fries and mayo, and fully loaded Cokes for lunch. We all going to walk in there like the Kool-Aid man. We're going to want the fried chicken sandwich and onion rings, and we're going to be like, can I just eat the Whopper today? Can I just eat the Whopper? Because we have to get good at showing ourselves that we can override our brain with its crazy little whims. That's the key. It's all about in these moments, you have to sit there and learn the skill of my brain is going to lob up a spitball and I gotta be able to duck from it. And for if you're like me, that means in the beginning, you've got to start small. You have to start with things that allow you to make the connection that just because my brain wants to break my plan, or just because my brain thinks this isn't good enough, or my brain wants to rebel, or whatever it is, it doesn't mean I have to do it. And that's where when a lot of you are planning too hard and stuff, that's where you miss that very first commitment practice of, I got to teach myself that what I say I'm going to do, I can learn to do that. And so it starts with things like, can I just? So you're going to use that on your doable plans. You're going to look at, can I just eat this meal? And if I want to switch out the rest of them for the day, I will. But we're here now. Can I just eat this one? And for the rest of the day or tomorrow or whatever. Can I just is such a good way to get you going in the direction you want to go. Like for some of you, when it comes to waiting for hunger, sometimes you'll think it's such an emergency because you hadn't ate in 2 hours. And you'll suddenly want to eat something, or you'll smell some food that, like, you know, you're not hungry, but it's like hot breadsticks or, you know, getting baked in your house and you just want one. And asking yourself, can I just wait 10 minutes? Can I just drink some water? And if in 10 minutes I still really want one, can I just eat one on a plate? There's always these ways that you can. Like the biggest thing I want you guys to do is break patterns of just being like, it's hard. This is too hard. This is too much. And then you throw out all progress that you could make. You know, sometimes with an overeat, if you're going to choose to eat something, I've watched a lot of you. It's like, maybe I just like, I don't have it in me to say no, but I do have it in me to say yes to putting it on a plate tonight instead of just eating out of the bag. I got that much in me. The last part is options, giving yourself food options. If you're not following your plan, this is one that I do to this day. When I notice when I'm wanting to like break plans and do stuff like that, I always default back to options. It allows me to put like 2 to 3 things down for a meal, or like sometimes even for the day, if I notice that my brain's real whiny about committing to certain things, I will just put down a list of things that are options for the day. And I just go through there and pick from like a buffet all day long and eat what sounds good in the moment from this list. Because what it does is it still teaches me we still can commit to being mindful about what we put in our mouth, even on the days when we're not as mindful as we are on our best day. Today, I got this one in me. The next one is stopping at enough. The best one is always to leave 2 to 3 bites behind. Getting used to not finishing your plate allows your brain to make the connection that you don't have to finish your food. It gets you more comfortable with, you know, noticing when you have had enough. And for some of you who think that 2 to 3 bites is not a big fucking deal, get a freezer bag. Every meal that you leave 2 to 3 bites behind for a week, put the bites in the freezer bag, and at the end of the week, look at how much food you end up saving. And then imagine that times 52. We all probably got at least 20 pounds worth of 2 to 3 bites at most meals a day just in a year. The other thing is, if you're having a hard time stopping at enough, is serving yourself less. For a lot of you, I was reading a big long thread yesterday about one of the girls. I think her name was Jessica. I'm not 100% sure. Her husband was having a shit fit because he believes in the Clean Plate Club, and he was giving her a hard time for, you know, leaving 2 to 3 bites behind and blah, 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 blah. And so we were just kind of helping her with it. And I told her, I was like, serve less. Everybody in there was like, well, then just don't put as much on your plate. Then you ain't got nothing to bitch about. So serve yourself less. If you're used to eating too much, use a smaller plate. Serve yourself less. You don't have to serve yourself dramatically less. Just like as you're scooping your food, making one conscious decision to be like, if I normally give myself 3 spoonfuls of mac and cheese, today I'm going to do 2. Or I'll do 2.5. Every little bit counts. That's the big thing about weight loss. It is not about sweeping changes. It is about a combination of little things. Consciousness, consciousness, consciousness. I can't tell you guys enough about how important it is to just be more aware of what you're doing and make some quick, easy little decisions so that weight loss is not hard. The other thing is wait 10 minutes for seconds. If your big thing is it's really hard for me to not go back for seconds, at least put in a stop gap for a while or just saying like, I can have seconds, but I am going to wait 10 minutes and drink a little water so that I can make sure that when I go back for seconds, I'm not going back with the urgency to eat more, the desire because it tastes so good. Let all that run itself out so that when you go back, you're going not only with a little bit of desire to keep eating, but you're going back with a fuller stomach. And it will make you eat a little slower until you get to the point where you're good at letting that urge pass, until you get good at building up some wins, until you get good at really being able to start believing you can do this. Because this is what happens. When you start getting these wins under your belt, you start shifting your mindset from somebody who believes they can't lose weight to somebody who's starting to believe it's possible. And when that happens, when we flip the switch with lots of little things to really starting to think about this might be possible, that desire and urgency to keep eating as if something's going to be taken away, that part of you is dying off. That part of you is leaving the building because you're starting to see things aren't being taken away. And so your habit brain's calming down. So you don't battle with that version of you so much. That's why the small things add up over time. The 10-10-10 rule is something I taught this weekend at camp, which is really simple. When you are like thinking that you want more food, ask yourself, will this matter to me? Like, will I still be proud of this decision in 10 minutes, 10 months, and in 10 years? Sometimes that's enough to get you to think about the long-term version of you, your long-term goals, plus you in 10 minutes. You know, for a lot of us, we know if we just keep going that it'll be that quick before we turn on the shame shawl. So just that is just a quick and easy little, like, a lot of times when you're making decisions, whether or not you're going to do or do not do something, use the 10-10-10 rule. Will this matter to me in 10 minutes, 10 months, 10 years? Will I like this decision 10 minutes, 10 months, 10 years? Will I regret this in 10 months, 10 years, 10 minutes? Asking, you can use that around a lot of different things. And the last thing is for all of you who do the wasting food thing, write about wasting food. And this is what I want you to do. You do not need to come up with all the reasons why you are somebody who doesn't want to waste food. You know them. Let's just not even dig that diaper up. I am someone who to this day still does not like wasting food. It comes up for me. But what I've done is over time, I have wrote about when I eat food from the mindset of I don't want to be wasteful, here's the things that I'm actually wasting. So I always talk about how much money I waste by cleaning my plate. You know, when you are cleaning your plate routinely and you don't need that much food, that money adds up over time. You don't learn how to buy less. You don't learn how to cook less. You don't learn all of that. And so if you keep cleaning your plate, you just keep spending money on food that you don't need to even be buying or preparing. And a lot of us don't think about that. I also tell myself, and here's the wasted time that I spend. It's not only the time spent eating and not doing something else. It's the time I spend regretting. It's the time I have to spend on trying to figure out how to do better. Like all of that is wasteful. So I write about like when I am eating with the idea that if I don't clean my plate, something's gone wrong. Here's where I'm actually wasting my time, wasting my emotions, and wasting my money. That is that concept of the equal airtime. The last one is grab-assing. So the best tips I have for committing to these obstacles and problems is get you a plate where you can like grab-assing is where it's where you're popping food in your mouth very unconsciously. It's like, you know, I didn't even realize it, but I'd ate a breadstick. I didn't even realize it, but I'd, you know, I was eating while I was cooking dinner. My husband was having popcorn and I just decided to eat some. My wife was having ice cream and I sat down with her and just started eating it. So that is grab-assing. Grab-assing is just a lot of just bites and licks of things and tastes and stuff like that. So I like, for all of you who went to camp, you got a grab-ass plate that has like the no BS stuff on it, but any plate will do. If you are bad to grab-ass during dinner while you're cooking or cleaning up the kitchen or serving or whatever, you put a plate right in your eyesight. Don't put it off in a corner somewhere. Put it right where you can't miss it and just say, I get to have all I want, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put the food that I want to normally pop into my mouth, I'm going to put it on this plate so that I get really aware of how much food I am grab-assing. Because a lot of you, this is where you hit weight loss stalls. You don't want to clean this part up. And you are eating way more than you think you are. You're not really doing all the things. So licks and stuff. If you miss one, you put it on the plate so that you can see. You have to get your brain connected to anything that goes into my mouth, that plate gets a tap. You'll get to see all of it. It'll just raise your awareness. The other thing, put sticky notes on that shit you're grab-assing. Hell, put a sticky note every day. Rewrite one right before you cook dinner. Put it on the sink. Put it, like, where do you grab? If you are bad to be cleaning up the dishes and eating what's left on your kid's plate or on, you know, whatever's left over in the bottom of the pan, put a sticky note right there. No grab-assing tonight. You can put all those grab-asses, too, in that bag. Bag of plenty that you're going to be doing in your freezer, put them in there so you can see exactly how much you save by not doing that. And it all goes back to just making it conscious. Grab-assing is a very unconscious behavior, so we have to make it conscious. That's why we're doing all these little tips. This also, when you do this, when you start wiping out grab-assing, you start practicing how to deal with urges at a low level. Urges to pop stuff in your mouth aren't urgent like they are with wanting to just sit down with your ice cream at night or your Oreos or to eat chips and decompress. This isn't relaxation eating. Grab assing is almost always in the habitual zone. So this allows you to have that low-level urge to do a habit and override it and teach yourself how to get through an urge so that when you have bigger urges that are more about not only are they habitual, but they're very emotional to boot, this gives you practice to show you that you know how. The last thing about grab asses that I want to say is a lot of you, if you catch yourself eating mindlessly, you immediately go to fuck it, we've blown it, blah, 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 blah. Grab assing is not a big deal until you turn it into a fuck it eat. I want you all to remember that. Grab assing is not a big deal until you turn it into a fuck it eat. So don't do that. Just tell yourself, it's just a grab ass. I'm unlearning this behavior. It'll take a while to get it conscious. And when I do, it'll be one less habit that I have to deal with. That goes back to what I was talking about. When you're committed to your obstacles, you talk about them like a boss. You learn from them. You don't get stern. You don't punish yourself. You don't dread your obstacles. You don't think your obstacles are hard. You don't create a soap opera around your obstacles. All right, guys, that's how I want you guys to be thinking. We're not only going to commit to our we're going to commit to our obstacles this year. We're going to commit to our problems and our mistakes this year. We're committing to solving them. We're going to commit to the whole process of losing weight. And we're going to commit to our goals. We are going to be commitment bitches this year.